begin again with an overview of some of the fundamentals of Kodshim. We spoke about four avodos that begin with Shechita.
Hello.
And then we go on to and then we go on to Zrikas Adam. So with regard to Shechita, there are many, many different nuances and halachas, very specific halachas and requirements of Shechita. We'll just mention some general ideas, but then we'll spend a little bit more time on Zrikas Adam, which is the most critical machaper in the Avodas HaKarma. First of all, and I think we've mentioned this before, that you have to wash off the animal before Shechita, and this has to do with removing different kinds of filth from the animal, because we don't want to take an animal into the Azorah where we do the Shechita and it's in a filthy state. This is a question of Kedushas HaAzorah. There's another halacha in Shechita with regard to Kodshim, very unique halacha, and a tremendous machlokas in about exactly what it means, called Akeda, exactly how we tie the animal down at the time of the Shechita. And the Mefarshim say that this is Zechel Akedas Yitzchak, that when we bring a karban, we want to bring in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam the Akedas Yitzchak. And the question is exactly how Avram Avinu, the Pasuk says that he tied down Yitzchak to the Mizbeach, exactly how he did it. Did he tie his hands? Did he tie his feet? Did he tie his feet to his hands? I mean, there are many, many different possibilities, and all this will impact on the issue of Shechita in Kodshim. Now, there's another halacha called Shechitas Zar, which means that a non-Kohen did the Shechita. The Pasuk tells me that V'shachar es ben ha-bokar, and then it says V'krivu b'nei Aaron es Adam. And the Gemara derives from this in Mesecht Zvachim, that since the Kohanim are only mentioned at the end of the Pasuk, not under V'shachat, it should have said V'shachat b'nei Aaron HaKohanim. Instead it says V'shachat es ben HaBokar, and then it says V'krivu b'nei Aaron es Adam. So that Dom requires Kohen, but Shechita, mentioned at the early part of this Pasuk, does not require a Kohen. And that's called Shechita Kshera Bizar. We're going to see later that under certain conditions, we would like a Kohen to do the Shechita if all things are equal. But we'll get to that in just a minute. Now, this means that according to the Gemara in a number of places, the phrase of the Gemara is that Shechita lav avodahi. Now, I don't know what that means, because that really requires a great deal of study. We know, for example, that Shechita has to be done by day and not by night, like all the other avodos. We know, for example, that Shechita has to be done in the Azorah, like all the other avodos. We know that a machshava poseles applies even during Shechita. So I would almost say that in 9 out of 10 cases, Shechita is considered an avoda. So what do we mean when we say lav avodahi? Very difficult. But the Gemara uses that term to explain why Shechita Ksheira Bizar. Now, when we speak about a Zar, we really have no categories of Psul. All categories of Psul, like for example a Balmum, apply to Kohanim. They have no application to Yisrael. So if you have Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven is a Balmum and Shimon is Shalem, there's no difference between Reuven and Shimon, because they're both non-Kohanim, they're both Zarim. So when we say Kshera Bizar, we mean Kshera Bipsul. But there's one exception. And that's Shechitas Katan. The Gemara says that in the case of Shechitas Katan, his Shechita is not valid. And the question is, why is a Katan excluded if we're saying that there are no Psulim that are excluded from Shechita? It's not an avoda, it's lav avoda. And the answer is because Shechita requires das. And a katan is a lav bar das. So when we say katan here, we mean cheresh shot of a katan. Now the question arises, what happens if you have what's called gadol omed al gabov? He's a katan doing the Shechita, but you have a more mature adult who is supervising the shechita as it's being implemented by the katan himself. So for this, we have a Rambam in Hilchas Psuli HaMukdashim, and the Rambam seems to equate Kshchitas Katan with what's called a Misasik. So let me just say a few words about Misasik. Misasik means that a man throws a knife. I don't know, he's playing a game and he wants to hit the wall and see if he could hit a spot on the wall, his target. And instead he shechts an animal. So that Shechita is not Kshera. Why? Because we need a Maisa Shechita. And this is called misasik. Misasik means what he's involved and intending to do one action, and somehow inadvertently and unintentionally he ended up with a different action. He achieved a different goal. That's called misasik. And the Rambam equates katan with misasik. Since a katan doesn't have das, and therefore intention for the sake of shechitas kodshim is impossible in the case of a kohen, we're going to apply, in the case of a katan, we're going to apply that even to not only a kohen who's misasik, but also a katan who's always considered misasik insofar as he doesn't have das. But in any event, the question as to whether Gadol Omed Al Tegavov, Bli Neder, we could talk about that as a separate topic. Now, what about a shochet who's tummy? Now, there are different categories of tumah. You have something called an av hatumah, and an av hatumah is metame adam v'kelim. If this shochet is tame betumas av hatumah, let's say he came in direct contact with a dead body, then he's metame kelim. And once he picks up the knife for shechita, he transfers tumah from his body to the knife itself. And therefore, the dam, which comes in contact with the sakin, with the knife of the shechita, now becomes tummy. And if the dam is tummy, then the whole enterprise of the carbon is out. So just to summarize, although a non-kohen, even if he's a balmum, will be kosher l'shechita in kodshim because Shechita lav avoda, nevertheless, we exclude two categories. Number one, a katan, and number two, a tummy. Now, Tosus says in Masechta Kiddushin that although Shechita is kshera bizarre, but non-kohen, nevertheless, lechatchila, an eved, should not perform the Shechita. Now, an Eved is considered like Israel, and his Shechita would be Shechita Kshera in Chulin, but in Kodshim, we would prefer if the Eved would not implement the Shechita. Are there any situations in which we prefer a Kohen to a non-Kohen? And the answer is yes. And that's the case of a Korban Tzibur. And as we discussed in our original first introduction, there are two types of karbanos. There's a karban yachin and a karban tzibur. In the case of a karban tzibur, we have higher standards, and the demands are on a higher level. And the nafkamina is that l'chatchila, if all things are equal, in a case of a karban tzibur, we prefer a kohen to do the shechita. And the Rishonim try to assume that not only should the Kohen l'chatchila do shechita, but he should even wear bigdei kahuna. Now, obviously, a zar who's doing the shechita doesn't wear bigdei kahuna. And if shechita lav avodahi, we should apply that principle as far as begadim are concerned, that there's no need for bigdei kahuna. How did you say, Don, we could dress down? We'll dress down when we do the shechita, because it's not an avodah. It's ksher bizar. A zar doesn't have bigdei kahuna, chas v'shalom. So why does the Kohen have to wear bigdei kahuna? But the answer is that we are, to some extent, l'chatchila, as far as the mitzvah of shechita and kodshim is concerned, we're upgrading the shechita to the category of shechitas kodshim as an avoda, even though it's not an avoda technically. But we're bridging that gap between lav avoda and avoda by having a kohen upgrade the status of the shechita. And in that sense, if you want to call it an avoda, then you need big day kohen. What about small? What do I mean? In Zrikas Nam, we'll see that if the Kohen does the Zrika with his left hand instead of his right hand, it's possible. But not in the case of Shechita. In the case of Shechita, you don't need Yamin, and even small is kosher. Again, it means that the requirement of Yamin is in Avoda, and Shechita lav Avoda. However, do you require a sakin, a knife, that's a kli sharis? Or can you take the same sakin that you use to shech chulin and use it for shechitas kodshim? So this is a very big business, and the Rambam has a shita that lechatchila, even if shechita lav avoda, nevertheless you require, if all things are equal, a sakin which is sanctified with the status of a kli shareis. However, b'di'eved, or in a case of shasat chak, if they cannot get access to a sakin that's a kli shareis, they can use the same sakin that they use to shecht chul. But now I want to introduce a topic that's going to take us maybe more than just this morning, and that is zrikas hadam. Very complicated topic, many dimensions to it. And before we start with the zrikas hadam, how does the kohen get the dam? That's called kabbalah sadam. And that's the avoda that immediately follows shechita. Li'achar ha-shechita, as the Rambam points out, a kohen omed v'oches kli shoreis biyodo ha-yaminis. So again, now we're getting to Kabbalah Sadam, which is an avoda, and we require, number one, a kohen, and we require yamin, and obviously big day kuhuna. U'mekabeles domo shel ha-karbon mitzavaro letoch kli shoreis. So again, not only do we require kohen and kli shoreis, but we also require dam minatzavar, that the dam comes directly from the neck of the animal into the receptacle, shenemar vayasem baganos, which is the pasuk at the end of Parashas Mishpot. So Chazal say that vayasem baganos indicates that kabbalas dam has to be performed with a kli shareis. And what happens is that the kohen who's in charge of Kabbalah Sadam will lift up the kli at the time of Kabbalah Sadam so that the dam will go directly into the kli shoreis. And once again, Kabbalah, like all the other avodos, requires kohen. And if we require kohen, then we require kohen kosher to the exclusion of a kohen who's a bal mum. And the Gemara's language is Mikabola V'elich Mitzvahs Kohuna. And the Gemara derives from the Pasuk V'shachates Ben Abakar, etc. No mention of Bnei Aaron. And then it says V'krivu Bnei Aaron HaKohenes Adam, which means immediately after Shechita, which is mentioned in the early part of the Pasuk, we need the Kohen. The Kohen has to enter center stage now. He's the main actor on the stage. He does all the avodos, beginning with Kabbalah Sadam. He will have to be a Kohen Koshel Avodah. He's not a Balmum. He will have to use his right hand, not his left hand. He will have to be wearing Big Day Kahuna. And this is all derived from the Pasuk. Now, how much dam does the makabel, the kohen makabel, have to receive in the receptacle? Is it necessary that it receive all the dam? Let's say part of the dam falls on the floor of the azara. So the pasuk says, "Ves kol dam hapar yishpoch el yisod mizbach haola." And the pasuk goes out of its way to say, "Es kol dam hapar," implying that all the dam, every last drop, has to be received in in the kli sharis, which we call a mizrak. It doesn't matter what you call it, but it's a receptacle. Now, again, this pasuk is really not relevant to us. In Pshuto Shel Mikra, the simple pshat in the pasuk is referring to what's called shvichas shirayim. If you recall, we discussed that if there's dam left in the kli sharis after the kiyum of zrikas adam, the leftover dam is going to be poured on the yisod of the mizbeach. And that's called in the pasuk, Veskal dam apar, meaning all the leftover dam that wasn't sprinkled on the mizbeach, is yishpoch el yisod mizbach ha'ola. And that's the mitzvah of shvichas shirayim. But nevertheless, the Gemara derives from this pasuk that he has to be mekabel all the dam, because it's impossible to take this pasuk kipshuto and say that we're talking about shvichas hashirayim, because it says kol adam. And shvichal yisod is not kol adam, it's whatever's left over after the zrikal gabi mizbeah. Okay, fine. Now, let's talk about the shochet for a moment in the context of Kabbalah Saddam. The Rambam tells us that Tzorech HaShochet Lagbia Es HaSakin L'malo Miyad Li'achar Siyum HaShchita. Immediately after the Kohen performs the Shchita, he has to lift up the Sakin Kidei Shlo Yikones Dam Me'asakin L'Kli Shedam She'over Me'algabi Mizbea Me'algabi HaSakin Nifsal. This is really fascinating. On the one hand, the dam is kosher, and that's the purpose of shechita, to get the dam into the mizrach. But on the other hand, there's dam that's stuck to the sakin. And that's a big problem, because that dam that's stuck to the sakin is dam that cannot go into the kli with the rest of the dam. It's unbelievable. There's a halacha of dam she'over me'asakin. It's almost as if the sakin has to cut whatever cuts, the simonim. Now the dam comes out on its own. But there's a certain amount of dam that is attached to the sakin. That dam cannot go on the mizbeach. It's already been, so to speak, removed from the entire process of hakrava. And therefore, he has to lift up the sakin and guarantee that none of the dam that's on the sakin will fall into the mizrak, into the receptacle, because that would passel the other dam. And that's the halach of hagbas hasakin. Now, of course, he's going to use the knife again, so he needs what's called kinuach. He's got to wipe off the blood, whatever vestige of blood there is on the sakin. And not only that, the fascinating thing is, where does he do this kinuach? Kinuach means to wipe it. Well, where do you wipe it? On a cloth? On a napkin? Maybe you should rinse it off in the faucet? No, no, no. He needs kinuach bisfas ha-mizrak, on the outer lip of that very kli, that very receptacle into which he received the dam. That's where he has to do the kinuach. And the question is, where is that dam going to fall? I mean, we certainly don't want it to fall into the kli, the mizrak, with the dam that's kosher. So the Rambam writes, "Mekaneach es hasakin b'sfas ha-mizrak bi'ofen she'yipol adam me'al hasakin michutz le'mizrak v'lo b'socho." Instead of taking the knife, if this, for example, if you can see my hands here, let's say this is the mizrak. Instead of taking the knife and wiping off the dam that's nidbak in this direction, because then the dam is going to fall into the mizrak, and that's a no-no, he should instead take the sakin, and from a lower level, below the rim of the mizrak, he should raise the sakin up, so that now the rim of the mizrak is going to knock all the dam that's dovuk to the sakin onto the ground. And it will not enter into the mizrak itself. Okay. one last paragraph. The Kohen now received all the dam in the Mizrach. Fine. So whatever comes out of the Tzavra Behema, all that dam is now inside the receptacle. But the problem is that there's a psul called Nishpach. What happens if some of the dam spills out of the Mizrach? And the halacha is that he has to be mekabel adam from the tzavar of the korban into a klisharis, and the dam should not be in any place after the shechita other than the mizrach. It's got to go directly from the tzavar abahem of the korban into the mizrach. Dam shehayu b'makom acher, if the dam is in another location before it falls into the mizrak, kigon shenishpach min atzavra la ritzpa, it got spilled onto the wall, onto the ground, is eno dam haroy lizrika, since it didn't go directly from the tzavra behema into the mizrak, it's possible is bad. Where is the dam? It fell on the Ritzpah, or Bonish, on the Ritzpah's Azorah, which has the Kedusha's Ritzpah. As far as Kedusha is concerned, I wouldn't say that the dam has lost anything in its level of Kedusha as a result of going from the neck of the animal down to the floor of the Azorah. But the answer is we have a new category called Psul Nishpach, which applies whenever the dam doesn't go directly from the Tzavar HaBehema into the Mizrach, but it made a soft landing somewhere in the middle. Im niskabel adam b'kli shoreis, v'achar kach nishpas adam in a kli. So one second, what's going on now? His kabel adam b'kli shoreis. See, here, what's going on here, Rabosai? Two sequences, and the laws are fundamentally different. In sequence number one, the dam went from the Tzavra Behema onto the Azorah, and then he picked it up and he wants to put it back in the Kli Shoreis. In scenario number two, the dam went into the Kli Shoreis, and then it spilled from the Kli Shoreis. In the second category, there's no psul dam, because again, the Azorah itself does not generate a psul. In the first case, where the dam fell from the Azor before it got into the Kli Shoreis, that's a psul, not because of the Azorah, but because of the absence of going into the Kli Shoreis directly from the Tzavra Behema. If it went directly into the Kli Shoreis from the Tzavra of the Behema, and then it fell on the ground, meaning the ground of the Azorah, that would be fine. Just collect the dam from the Azorah, and it's kosher. So that's what we have as an introduction to the topic of Zrikas Hadam, which, as I said before, it's going to take us a little bit more time. But I begin to feel already, for myself at least, that I'm getting my feet a little bit anchored in Kutch. Okay, Rabosa, at this point we go back to our Sugyan Tomid Nishchat, and we're going to open up to Daf Nuntes Amid Aleph. So let's make sure that we all have the right place. Actually, we have one more line and a half on Nun Ches Amid Beis. One and a half lines up from the bottom of Nun Ches Amid Beis, Tana Rabbana. And now we're sort of moving towards another branch of our sugya, it's still the general sugya about the relationship between Shechitas HaTamid and Shechitas HaPesach. But now we're going to broaden our discussion and talk about other avodos, like, for example, Hadlokas HaNeros and Haktoras HaKtores. And where do these fit in to the sequence of Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim? Tana Rabbanan Tamid Kodem LePesach. So we know that because the Torah adds the word Ba'erev in the Parsha of Pesach, we only have Ben Arbayim in the Parsha of Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. We don't have that extra word of Ba'erev, which delays or postpones the Karbon. And that pasuk appears by Erev in the parasha of Pesach. The Pesach has to come after the Tamid. And as we emphasized and re-emphasized, this is the only exception to the rule of Hashlama, that Olela Hashlech as Kol HaKarbon as Kulam, that the Karbon, Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, should be the last Karbon of the day. Here we have a Karbon, naming the Karbon Pesach, and it's being brought after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. Now, where does Ketores and Hadlokas HaNeros fit in? Do we do those avodos before the Korban Pesach? Or should we wait until after the Korban Pesach? Logically, I would have said they should be implemented before the Korban Pesach, because although in the case of Pesach we have the extra Bo'erev that allows us to get involved in this avodah of Hakrovas HaPesach after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, that Pasuk Ba'erev is only in the Parsha of Karbon Pesach. As far as other avodos, like for example, Hadlokas HaNeros or Haktoras HaKtores, we don't have that extra word Ba'erev. We should go back to square one. Olel Hashlem is called Karbon Eskulam. That the Karbon Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim closes the day in Beis HaMikdash. And he writes, to my surprise at least, Pesach Kodem Liktores. Then on Erev Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, we're going to postpone Haktoras HaKtores till after the Korban Pesach. And what comes after Haktoras HaKtores is Hadlokas HaNeros. So here's the sequence. We have Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. We have Korban Pesach. We have Haktoras HaKtores. And then we have Hadlokas HaNeros. That's going to be the sequence. And as you and I know, in Kodshim, sequence is very important. So now we turn to Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. And this brisa that we started with on the bottom of Nun Tes, of Nun Ches Amud Beis, is now going to derive from the Psukim that sequence that we mentioned before. And Yeuchar Dover Shenemar Bo Bo Erev U Bein Arbayim. So again, Yeuchar Dover Shenemar Bo. Let's go through the Psukim. It says, Ki im el amokom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha, l'shaken shmo sham. Sham tizbach es ha-pesach bo erev. And then it says at the end of the Pasuk in Bo. I mean, that Pasuk we quoted from Parshas Re'eh, but in Bo it says, V'shachatu oso kol ka'al adas Yisrael bein arbayim. So we describe Pesach as coming under two psukim. One pasuk says Ba'erev, and the other pasuk says Bein Arbayim. And that should come later. We postpone it. L'davar shelo nemar bo ba'erev. But in the case of the Talmud, it only says ba'erev. Ela v'es hakeves hasheni taseh bein arbayim. Shelo nemar ba'erev. And it only says bein arbayim bilvat. So now we know that the Akrovas HaPesach comes after the Talmud. And we have two different kinds of Lashonos of Erev. We have Bein Arbayim and we have Ba'erev. So the extra Lashon of Ba'erev in the Parasha of Korban Pesach is coming to teach me that the Korban Pesach should be Shechted after the Korban Tumid, where it only says Bein Arbayim. Okay, now, if Korban Pesach is very unique because the Torah added the extra ba'erev, then the Akhtoris, Akhtoris, and Adlokas HaNeir should come before the Pesach. Where do we see in the cases of Akhtoris, Akhtoris, and Adlokas HaNeir that the Torah teaches me I have to delay it, and therefore I should delay it even after the Pesach? Ihachi, if the reason why we delay the Pesach is because we have this special word of ba'erev, is Ktoris Meneiros Nami Nikdemula Pesach, then why does the Braisa say that Ktoris and Adlokas Aneris comes immediately in the aftermath of Korban Pesach? It should be before the Korban Pesach, because we don't have any Pasuk in neither in Ktoris Ktoris nor in Adlokas Aneros that indicates that we should delay these Avodos. Is therefore Yeuchar Dovar Shenemar Bo Be'erev Bein Arbayim L'Dovar Shelo Nemar Bo Ela Bein Arbayim. In other words, the same exact drasha that teaches you that Pesach should come after the Talmud, or let me say it the other round, that Talmud should be before Pesach, should teach you that Akhtoris, Akhtoris, and Alokas Aner should be before Pesach. Because what's the nature of the drasha? What's lacking in Talmud is the extra word Ba'erev. Well, that same deficiency applies even to Akhtoris, Akhtoris, and Alokas Neris. There's no Ba'erev. So that's the Gemara's kash. Now let's keep in mind, and this is what Tosus makes a big deal about, that if not for the Yeuchar Bo Dovar, Shenema Bo Erev, in the case of Korban Pesach, then Korban Pesach would certainly come before the Talmud Shel Bein Arbayim. So Tosus is bothered. That's antithetical to the universal rule in Kodshim that when we set up a Seder, it's always Tamid, Tadi or Vishena, Tadi Koda. So why should the Pesach, logically, if not for the extra Uba Erev, come before the Tamid? The Tamid is Tadi. Tadi always comes before Shena Tadi. But the answer, I believe, is Hashlama, because we had the Pasuk, Olea Hashlem is Kol HaKorban is Kulo, so that now the principle of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir cannot apply, because if you apply the principle of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, then you're going to end up bringing Korbanos after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, and the Torah says, Olea Hashlem is Kol HaKorban is Kulo. So do you see what's going on here? We have like a dynamics. You know, you have what we call in Hegelian philosophy a dialectic. You have a thesis and then an antithesis. You know, on the one hand, you have a thesis that Pesach should come after the Talmud because Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Tadir Kodim. On the other hand, you have a counterthesis that says that, on the contrary, Pesach should come before the Talmud, despite the fact that the Talmud is Tadir, because of the principle of Hashlama. So the Kosva Shlishi here is going to be the extra Ba'erev. Because if not for Ba'erev, to delay the Korban Pesach, I think I would put more emphasis on Hashlama than on Tadir V'Sheino Tadir. I would be Mevater, I would give up on Tadir and have the Tumid brought later because of Hashlama. You know, in psychological terms, if you pardon, I would say it's not an insult to the Tumid to make way for something that's less Tadir, because what is the Tumid gaining? It's gaining more than it's losing. It's gaining the special status of Hashlama. That prize, that it becomes the last carbon of the day. Achron, achron, carbon. But bottom line is, we really don't know if Hashlama pays off for the Tumid more than Tadir, and we're going to neutralize Tadir in the face of Hashlama, then I need some sort of a pasuk to prove that the Pesach comes after the Tumid. I can't use the principle of Tadir because we've already undermined that principle based on Hashlama. Now, I think I touched on this yesterday, but only by Kifin, only on the surface level. We don't know exactly what Hashlama is. Is Hashlama mitzvah saseh, it's a kiyum in the Karban, or is Hashlama lo saseh, and tells me that the Mikdash is closed for business. There's no business after the Talmud is brought. If it's a kiyum essay, that in a sense, as we said, it's the kick or the payoff, the payback to the Talmud, that you, the Talmud, get to be the last karmon, it's a kiyum of the karmon, then I'm not sure why that kiyum should be any greater than tadir v'sheino tadir. Tadir is also an enhancement to the karmon. But if on the other hand, Hashlama is a lotase, or call it a lava babachal essay, that the Torah is saying that Olea Hashlem means you're not allowed to bring any Karbanos after the Talmud, that's Halach in Karbanos, then certainly, without a shadow of a doubt, that should trump Tadir V'Sheino Tadir. And in the case of Talmud Shalbein Arbayim, we should bring this Karban as the last Karban, because otherwise, if we're going to bring any other Karbanos afterwards because of Tadir, because the Talmud is Tadir, we're going to, quote-unquote, violate this Lava Bamachal essay of Hashlem. So that topic is going to be taken up by this Tosus, Ossi Essay de Pesach on Daf Nuntes. So we have Od Chazon Lamoed, we still have time till we get to that Tosus. But here I want to share with you a Kasha the Pnei Yoshua. He writes the following. What happens, we said that every karbon has haktar se'emurim, the emurim that have to be brought on the mizbeach, those fats and so forth. In the case of a karbon tamid, the entire karbon, as an ola, is kulo kolil. So we now have, after the zrikas adam of the karbon tamid, we now have a mitzvah of haktara. Haktar al Gabi Mizbeach. Now, if we're setting up a sequence and Pesach should come after the Tumid because of the extra word Uba Erev, then it would make sense that we complete the process of the Tumid, which could take an hour, as we mentioned, before we begin and embark on the process of Akrovas HaPesach. Well, part of the Akrovas HaTamid is the Akhtaras HaIvorim Al Gabi Mizbeach. So therefore, if we assume that the Akhtaras HaIvorim of the Tamid is going to take place before the Akrava of the Pesach, then the Pnei Yoshua has a kasha. What's his kasha? We're saying that Pesach is Yeuchar Dovar. It says the extra word Uba Erev, and therefore has to come later. That makes sense if you compare the Shechita of the Tumah to the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. The Shechita of the Korban Pesach is going to come later. Why? Because the Pasuk Ba Erev is referring to the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. I'll read it to you. It says, "V'shachatu oso kol ha'kehal adas Yisrael bein arbayim," and it says, "V'es hakeves hasheni taseh bein arbayim." Now, the word "taseh" is interpreted as referring to shechita, as it says, "V'shachatu oso kol ha'kehal Yisrael bein arbayim." So the word Ba'erev, from which we derive Ye'uchar, what I mean to say is from the absence of the word Ba'erev in Tamid, we derive the Ye'uchar Dover in Karban Pesach, where it does say Ba'erev, says the Pnei Yoshua, L'chorah din Yeuchar Dover eino shayach el gabi shechitas ha-pesach v'atamid. So that when the Torah says Yeuchar, meaning the extra word Ba'erev in the case of Korban Pesach, it means that the shechita of the Korban Pesach, which is the context of that pasuk, should be delayed until after the avodas ha-tamid. He says, "Eino shech legabe shchita asa pesach v'tomid sharei bo erev u'bein arbaim nemru b'pesach legabe shchita nemru." V'im kein, what's his question? Madua dochim es ha esay shel olea hashlem shenemar legabe aktora say vorim legabe mizbeach. And he quotes a sugi that we'll get up to a little bit later on, that the Isra Akrova Liachar Atamid is that only applies to Akhtara and not to Shechita or Zrika. So if this be the case, then why should we delay the Akhtara Seivarim until after the Korban Pesach? The halacha is that after he finishes the avodos of the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, immediately he brings the Korban Pesach. Wait a minute. Why do you immediately shech the Korban Pesach? I have a better idea for you. And that is Haktoras Ha'ivarim. We should be makta the Ivarim of the Korban Tamid Al Gabi Mizbeach. Because again, the whole difference of Ba'erev is only as far as Shechit is concerned. So even if I complete the Haktoras Ha'ivarim of the Tamid before the Korban Pesach, I still will fulfill the requirement of Ashlama by Shechting the Korban Pesach. But let's Shecht it after we complete the entire process of the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. And that would include even the Akhtar Seivar. Says the Pnei Yoshua, "Ein la hafsik ben shchitas vakrovas atomid la vodas apesach." In other words, you have the four avodos of the Tamid. You finish the last avodo with Zrikas Adam, and immediately you need the Shechita. The Shechita, the Korban Pesach, has to come immediately following the avodas HaTamid. That's the Ba'erev. So the Ba'erev is telling me two things. Number one, that Korban Pesach comes after the Tumen, but number two, that immediately after the Tumen. The Tumen is Bein Arbayim, and now Bo'erev tells me, bring the Korban Pesach a little bit afterwards. So the Shechita of the Korban Pesach should be after the Avodos of the Tumen Shel Bein Arbayim. But we're not going to wait, says the Pnei Yoshua, for the Aktoras Ha'evorim, because Aktoras Ha'evorim is not a critical part of the Avodos HaKorban. Now, there's a long discussion in the Minchas Chinuch, which I wanted to just touch upon. What happens if he brought the Korban Pesach before the Tumen? And he says that b'di'eved, it's kosher. Meaning that this din of Ye'uchar Dover that's derived from the extra ba'erev in the case of Korban Pesach is only l'chatchila. Says the Minchas Chinuch, shenikba bozez mana Pesach, shehuli acher zmana tomit. In other words, there are two halachas here. This is very similar to what we said in the name of the Hari Kedem, if you recall. He says that there's one halacha in the implementation and there's another halacha in the zman itself. So when we say that the Korban Pesach has to come after the Tumid, then what we're doing is we are deriving and establishing the Zman of the Korban Pesach. So that from also from the extra pasuk uba erev yeuchad davar, we're establishing the kviyus man of the Korban Pesach, and uba erev means that the kviyus man is after the tumit. But lemaisa, they didn't bring the tumit yet, and he went ahead and he was makir of the Korban Pesach, so that Yeuchar Dover is going to tell us that we're not going to be makir of the Korban Pesach at Sheshu Mechza because that's the Zman of the Tumid, but rather later on. Once it's Igia Zman HaPesach, we should have, at this point, shechted the Tumid, and the Tumid again comes before the Pesach. But he says that halacha, that now when he's arrived at the Zman of the Korban Pesach, he should first shech the Tumid, that's for a different reason, not because of Hashlama. There is no din of Hashlama with regard to Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, because of the word Ba'erev, tells you that the Zman of the Korban Pesach is after the Zman of the Tumid. What happened to Hashlama? The answer is, Hashlama sets up the Zman of the Korban for all Korbanos before the Tumid Shel Bein Arbayim. But in the case of Pesach, the Torah went out of its way to set up the Zman of Akrova as after the Tumid. And that's derived from the extra Ba'erev. So now, what happened is he hasn't shechted the Korban Tumid yet. And it's already the Zman for the Korban Pesach. So normally, if you fail to bring one Korban, and now you got to the point where there's Higia Zman for the second Korban, the first Korban will have to wait its turn. It'll have to wait online. And if you'll tell me that the Korban Tumid should now wait online until after the Korban Pesach, and that's based on Hashlama, Hashlama doesn't apply to Korban Pesach. We're already in that period of time, which is the Zman HaPesach. Says the Milchas Chinuch, in this case, we're going to bring the Tamid first because of Tadir, Visheino Tadir, Tadir Kod. So you're already in the Zman of the Pesach. In that case, we should have said, well, let's put the Korban Tamid on the back burners. You know, let's suspend it somewhere, you know, lock it up in a closet until we finish with the Korban Pesach. Because we're already in that period of time called the Nikba Zmano Shel Pesach. Says the Minchas Chinuch, no, we're going to shech the Tamid. And the reason for that is because of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Tadir Kodim. And that's the exception to the general rule that once you're in the Zman of another Korban, you don't bring the earlier Korban. Let the earlier Korban wait its turn. Because now we're in the Zman of a different Korban. You see how the Migdash and the Korbanos work with Hilchas Zmanim. So when you get to a Korban, you're asking, is this the Zman of the Korban? If it's the Zman of the Korban, that Korban sort of monopolizes our time period, because that's what the Migdash has as an obligation at that particular time. So now we've gotten into a new time zone. We've traversed the time zone of the Tamid. We've entered into the time zone of the Korban Pesach. And that's the only mitzvah that's on, that's the only Korban that's on our mind. Nein, says the Pnei Yeshua. While it's true that we're in the Zman of the Korban Pesach, we still have a chiv to bring the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, and now we have to bring the Tamid Shel Arbayim before we bring the Korban Pesach, not because of Ashlama or any of that, those sorts, but because of Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Okay, now let's get back to the Gemara. We've now got stuck with the following problem. This is Gemara's Kasha. In the case of Pesach, where it says the extra Ba'erev, we're going to delay the Akravas HaPesach until after the Tamid. But what about Ketores and Neros, Hadlokas HaNeros? When is the right time for those Avodos? So apparently, the halacha is that we delay the Ketores and Neros until after the Pesach. Why should we do so? Ketores v'Neros nami niktabu l'Pesach. Just like we said in Tamid, that the Tamid will be brought before the Pesach because it only says Bein Arbayim, we should apply the same yardstick to the cases of HaKetores HaKetores and Hadlokas Neros. And why? Because Yuchad Davar is a reference to the Korban Pesach, which says the extra Ba'erev. Shenemar Bo Ba'erev. Ubein Arbayim. L'Davar. Shalo Nemar Bo Ela Bein Arbayim. The Pesach should be brought after the Ketores and the Neros, because we have Ba'erev. So just like Ba'erev tells me to postpone the Korban Pesach till after the Tamid, it should be telling me postpone the Korban Pesach till after Ketores and Neros. Because in Ketores and Neros, the Torah says Bein Arbayim, but the Torah doesn't add the word Ba'erev. Now let's read the Pasuk. It's in Shmos Perek Lamed. The Pasuk says, Uba'alos Aron Es HaNeros Bein Arbayim Yaktirenu. What does it say here about the Neros? It says Bein Arbayim Yaktirenu Ketores. Interesting, the Pasuk has both Neros and Ketores. Tamid Lifnei Hashem L'Dorosecha. Right, on a daily basis. In fact, in Ketores it's twice daily, so in Neros also twice daily. We have to be makriv this haktorah of Ketores, and also we have to be madlik Neros. Lifnei Hashem L'Dorosecha. The Braisa, if you recall, back on Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis, has Pesach before the Ketores and the Neros. Why? In Kteros and Neros, it only says Bein Arbayim. It does not add Uba Erev. So my answer is Shani Hasam. Those cases of Hadlokas and Neros and Kteros are different, even though it only says Bein Arbayim, whereas in Pesach it says an additional Uba Erev. Nevertheless, we cannot delay the Akrovas HaPesach until after Hadlokas and Neros and Ktores. Why? Mishum de miet rachmana. The Torah has a mute, an explicit mute. Then there's no avoda after the Pesach. In the case of Neros, the Torah says Yaruch oso Aaron ubanav me erev ad boker, so that the Neros should be lit from the evening until the morning. Lifnei Hashem chukas olam dorasecha meis b'nei Yisrael, teaching us that Neros, Hadlokas HaNeros, is the last avoda of the day. So this is really interesting. Although we don't have Ba'erev in the case of Hadlokas HaNeros, we have another pasuk that teaches us that Hadlokas HaNeros comes after the Korban Pesach, and that is Me'erev Ad Boker. The Sanya, we learned in the Brisa, Me'erev Ad Boker, Tein La Midasa. Notice, in every Ner, you have to put an amount of Shemen that would be Doleg Me'erev Ad Boker, which is a Chatzi Lug of Shemen. And now, the Brisa is going to move on to Dover Acher, another additional Drasha. I'm not sure if you can have both. And it says, "Ein lucha avoda shekshera me'erev ad boker ela zo bilvad." The only avoda that goes from erev all the way to boker is this avoda, which means that this is the last avoda of the day. So the Gemara says, "My timer." How do you derive this conclusion from the pasuk? Omar kra yaroch oso. There's an extra word, oso. Aaron ubanav me'erev ad boker. Oso, meaning adlokas neis bilvad, only oso me'erev ad boker. V'ein lecha dover acher me'erev ad boker. In other words, in the avodos of the day of the yom, there is no avoda that's done after that avoda called me'erev ad boker. So therefore, in the case of Korban Pesach, the Korban Pesach has to come before the Hadlokas HaNeros, because with regard to Hadlokas HaNeros, it's going to be delayed. Why? Because it's got to be Me'erev Ad Boker. So the Me'erev Ad Boker in Hadlokas HaNeros, and we have an equation between that and Haktores Haktores, teaches us that the day has to end with Haktores Haktores. And now, v'yiskish k'tores l'neros. We have a hekish between haktores, haktores, and neros. And therefore, we derive the conclusion that the dinim are the same. That just like neros comes at the end of the day, miboker ad erev, so too miboker ad erev applies to k'tores as well. And therefore, the Korban Pesach is going to come before the k'tores and adlokas and neros. So let's just review, and with this we'll end the shiur. The sequence is going to be tamid, then Pesach, and then Ktores, and finally Neros Me'erev Ad Boker to end the day. Now there's a kasha here from Tosfos Menachos. I'll just mention it bekitzur. He says Haktores Chalovim and Evarim of the Korbanos that were brought during the day can be niktar. They can burn on the mizbeach the entire night, and even Trumas Hadeshen is done by night. So what does it mean when it says here in the Brisa Ein Lecha Davar Acher Me'erev Ad Boker, when that's not really true? We have Haktores Chalov at night, we have Trumas Hadeshen at night. And Tosfos answers, She'enon Domim L'Hadlokas HaNeros. Why? Mishum Shaktores Eivorim Mascheles Mibod Yom, U'Trumas Hadeshen Eino Mascheles Miyad Mishkias Acham. So the Haktore itself of the Avorim begins during the day, and only continues through the night, that's when the cheftz is niktar. And then what he says about trumas adeshen, that ena maschels miyad mishkias hachamo, I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. Oh, so he has an explanation here. He says, shadlokas aneros kishera kolzman, kolzman zeshuhu meir vad boker, mashenkin aktoris chalovim, vevorm ksherim kol ayom, viaf kodem bein harbayim, viaf trumas adeshen eno bechlal ze lefisha eno. So basically, he's taking Hector Chalom Vevorim and Trumas Adeshen out of this whole parasha. Okay, then, so here's where we're going to end on Vitanya here on Daf Nuntes Omid Al.